is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Welcome to it. It is 7 after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Cleanup continuing in several places. A tornado confirmed in Portland, Michigan. During the severe weather yesterday, apparently a tornado near Manchester and Millington, two other communities, so maybe as many as three tornadoes yesterday, some damage out there, and a lot of flooding warnings today. Those flood warnings are a line, basically, from Grand Rapids to Lansing, places like Portland, East Lansing, Williamston, Stockbridge, several counties, possibly Kalamazoo could be affected by these rising waters. And of course, the waters will continue to rise throughout the day today. So look for, if there are traditionally areas in your neck of the woods that have water over the roadways, today would be the day to look for those and be cautious as you cruise looking for those. More rain expected Thursday. As much as 5 inches of rain fell from this storm, 3 to 5 inches, according to the National Weather Service. So we're keeping an eye on all these weather-related problems. I know that a lot of folks, I have to look for somebody to fix a problem at my house because I had water coming in yesterday during the heaviest downpours. We were both surprised a little bit by that. We decided we better fix that. Alex, the engineer driving this train, says he had a little leak in his mudroom. At least that's how he's referring to it, a leak in his mudroom. And he said that he's going to have to get that fixed. But his brother, apparently, straddling a sinkhole in his car somewhere in the Eaton Rapids area. So road conditions in some areas, some roads have been damaged by these incredibly hard rains. And I guess I'm just warning you to be mindful of that when you're out and about today. Just be mindful and not be paranoid. Just mindful that there are some problematic areas out there as a result of these heavy rains that happened throughout the day yesterday into the early morning hours. And so far, at least three tornadoes, it seems, touched down in Michigan. Now, more than 300 Michigan same-sex couples were married on a single day last year during a brief window of opportunity. Hundreds more could tie the knot later this month if the U.S. Supreme Court opens the door to that. Regina Cacogno of the Michigan for Marriage Group says, we have couples who have been together for 3 or 4 decades and are just looking for the right time. Clerks in a number of Michigan counties are prepared to issue marriage licenses on the same day the Supreme Court releases its opinion, likely later this week or early next, provided the ruling allows them to do so. And I caution people because it seems that most people believe that same-sex marriage is going to be declared legal by the United States Supreme Court. I'm hearing ads on the radio and so forth that they couldn't possibly rule any other way. You know, I heard the same comments 2 or 3 years ago when Obamacare was before the court, that there was no way they could uphold Obamacare. And then John Roberts ties himself into a pretzel to surprise and stun everyone, to stun the nation. So I'm just saying, don't get too, I mean, is it more likely than not? I believe, based on what I'm hearing, it's more likely than not that same-sex marriage will be declared constitutional and upheld by the United States Supreme Court, but I certainly wouldn't bank on it at this point. Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram, who married same-sex couples at the Mason Courthouse in March of 2014 on that one day it was legal, is, quote, cautiously optimistic that the Supreme Court will rule in favor of marriage equality this month. Last March, there were marriages going on all three floors of the courthouse, she said. There was clapping and laughter and hugs and kisses. It's a wonderful experience, she says. And she says she looks forward to having that again. Byram has an email list of same-sex couples who weren't able to marry last year but are interested in doing so. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, meanwhile, which oversees the state's vital records office, has not yet provided clerks with updated marriage licenses or affidavits, but Byram said she is prepared to white out any outdated designations, as she did last year on licenses deemed valid. Same is true in other places. Ottawa County Clerk Justin Roebuck said his office is also ready to go if the Supreme Court strikes down Michigan's gay marriage ban and same-sex couples could apply for a license. He hopes the state will release updated forms, but won't wait for that to happen either. We have prepared our staff for whatever situations might occur, but if this paperwork issue is the most complicated part of the process, we are clearly in a position to move forward. Pretty good situation, he said, because it can be manually corrected if needed. Now, the question then becomes, if it goes through the other way, will gay rights advocates feel that they went too far too fast? Maybe. The answers here, by the way, will have major implications for the state of Michigan, one of 13 states with an active gay marriage ban, but the decision, whichever way it falls, is not expected to end the ongoing national debate over gay rights, marriage, and religious freedom. You see, the problem is, one of the problems is that if gay marriage is deemed legal and constitutional by the United States Supreme Court, the problem then becomes, will it require religious institutions? Will it require churches to perform gay marriages? Will it require religious organizations to do a variety of things that are strictly against their principles? Will religious organizations be forced to violate the First Amendment of the Constitution? They have a right to the free exercise of their religion, not dictated by the state. The bills, of course, sparked immediate criticism from pundits, including a regular contributor here on the program. Columnist Nolan Finley of the Detroit News wrote that the proposal, a four-bill package that would prohibit clerks, judges, and other government officials from performing weddings and would require all marriage certificates to be signed by a religious leader, that came from Republican State Reps Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat on Thursday. Nolan Finley said that would continue a guerrilla war against same-sex marriage and suggested its sponsors are advocating for a Christian version of Sharia law. I think Nolan's a little bit out on the left field on this one. A couple times recently, I'm not sure. Maybe that medical marijuana is getting to him. But Corser said the proposal has been mischaracterized. While it was drafted in anticipation of a Supreme Court ruling, he argued it is not designed to prohibit anyone from getting married. Couples who do not wish to participate in a religious ceremony could file an affidavit of common law marriage, he noted. Corser, who is from Lapeer, said he's not a gay marriage proponent. Obviously, he's a traditional guy, but says he also has a libertarian bent. So, all of this coming maybe as soon as the end of this week or early next week. Your phone calls welcome. 888-900-9966 is the hotline number. Check it out. It's ringing now. 888-900-9966 is the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Tuesday, and we've got the lines stacked up on gay marriage, and we're going to talk about that. And we're going to do that right after the bottom of the hour. But we have Congressman Bill Heisinger on the line this morning, and I need to get to this because I don't have a lot of time. And so I apologize to the callers, but you will be included. Don't worry. 888-900-9966. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Hey, good being with you, Steve. Sorry if you hear airline announcements in the background. I'm actually on my way back out to the land of Oz here.
So. All right, so you're on the plane getting ready to fly.
I'm looking at the lovely terminal here in Detroit. So right, yes, so on my way back out.
Here's what I want to ask you. We'll just get right to it. You support the Trans-Pacific Partnership, correct?
I supported TPA, the which is the Trade Promotion Authority. We'll see if I'm going to support TPP, depending on the deal that the president negotiates.
Right. Well, it's 98% done. I mean, one comes immediately after the other, correct?
Well, we're going to have a time period here. In fact, I was just looking over this again, Section 106, page 85 and 86. Anybody can look at it. Go to my website. We've got a link to it. Lays out all of the timelines of the reports that have to come to Congress, the 60 days that it's required to be laid out in the public before anybody, including the House or the Senate, can do anything with it. So we're looking at months yet before we're actually even going to be voting on the TPP itself, the actual agreement itself.
All right, so here's the other part of it is the Trade and Services Agreement. What do you know about the Trade and Services Agreement?
You're talking about the TPP itself?
I'm talking about the Trade and Services Agreement, the contents. You know, it's hard to keep all of these alphabet soups straight. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Everybody who's looked at this, Jeff Sessions, who's looked at it in depth and other groups through WikiLeaks and other places, say that the vast ramifications of the Obama trade vote today lead far more to immigration and allowing of foreign workers on board into the United States than anything else. Do you think that's accurate?
I believe those are valid concerns, but I do not see it the way that Jeff Sessions is reading it. The parts that I have read, and again, we do not have all of it in front of us yet, but that is something I think we all ought to be making sure doesn't happen. In fact, there's sections in here, again, on the TPA itself addressing the sovereignty of U.S. law. That's Section 108, and that's page 103. It says basically above everything else, U.S. law prevails. It says that China's not going to be a part of it. On page 89, it doesn't explicitly say any country, but it says if you're not a part of the agreement now, you're not going to be a part of the agreement later. And I know that's been a call that, you know, all this other stuff is going to slide into the backside and, you know, it's going to sneak through. And I don't believe that's the case. Now, we all have to be very, very careful. I am not one to lightly go into any kind of agreement because I get it. It's challenging. It's scary. It's different. But we've got to make sure that we have an open and fair trading system around the world. That's what's made us great in the past, and I think that's what's going to be able to make us an economic powerhouse in the future if done right.
Here's another one of the criticisms. It says, you know, as far as the case in past trade agreements, if Congress or even state lawmakers seek to make changes in laws, for example, establishing or adjusting licensing, skill sets, or educational requirements that effectively close off opportunities for, say, Malaysian machinists or Honduran welders, that the United States would not find itself in front of a United States court, but an international tribunal on trade, a place that historically the United States has not done very well. Is that a possibility?
For example, we just had this when we lost the country of origin labeling. That's been an ongoing dispute with Canada. We've lost time and time and time again because we've tried doing something that under the agreement says we can't do it. Now, the question is that...
And let me tell you something. Well, let me stop you right there. Is that most Americans, in fact, I have not found a person yet who doesn't think we should have country of origin labeling on everything that we find at Meijer or Walmart or anywhere else. And yet, I talk to folks like yourself who say, we don't need this country of origin because you've said that on this program, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I haven't said that. The question is that whether it's going to be mandated by the federal government or if Meijer, which is doing a great job at its Buy Michigan and all of its promoting of the U.S. products, does it voluntarily. The question is much like our auto parts and much like our food, this travels back and forth across the border all the time. Whether the cattle is raised in California or in Canada, or whether our carrots literally are coming from Hudsonville, Michigan, or a place called the Holland Marsh, just north of Toronto, I'm pretty sure that Canada's food safety laws are just fine where they are. The difference is that a Cheerio made here in the United States couldn't be sold in Canada, and a Cheerio made in Canada couldn't be sold here in the United States. That does not make much sense in a world in a world that is dependent on trade, don't you think?
I don't know what that has to do with labeling. You know, that sounds like a different issue. It sounds like it's being muddled there, because I don't care if I eat a Cheerio made in Canada, but I probably care if I eat shrimp that comes from Vietnam where 80% of it's contaminated by fecal matter. That probably concerns me.
Yes, and we need to all be informed, and we can also then demand what's going to be happening when it comes to us buying our food products. So the question is, though, and by the way, it isn't labeled to that. There's only certain meats that are in this. So we're trying to have it both ways, right? It was really a more of a protectionist move for hog farmers and cattle farmers and that kind of thing, and we exclude a bunch of other things. So we can't have it both ways. Either we do all of it or we do none of it.
Well, I don't know if that's true either. I think you can always adjust things. But this conversation will continue, Congressman, and I appreciate you taking the time when you're sitting there strapped in on the airplane heading back to Oz. I do. But at some point, we really need to sit down and parse this out so we can get a little more in detail and dig a bit deeper. But that's all we have for today. Congressman Bill Heisinger, as always, thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, Steve.
There you have it. Congressman Bill Heisinger from Michigan's 2nd District on the west side of the state. I'm still not happy with the answer. I still think it's incomplete. It's 25 after.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
The three men sailed up from the San Francisco Bay.
Tuesday morning, it's the Steve Gruber Show, stirring it up for you. Ann on the hotline this morning and on in Dega to catch up with the conversation we're having just a few minutes ago. Ann, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know if it was a few minutes ago. I called earlier and then Alex called me back. And it was quite a thrill to find out that Alex is actually one of my neighbors.
Isn't that great?
Yes, he is a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him when he was a little boy.
What, are you trying to get him a raise or what? What's going on?
He deserves it.
There you go. All right, Ann.
Yeah, that's for sure.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about our county clerk.
The county clerk with gay marriage licenses and so forth.
Yeah. What a show-off. What a way to get your name, you know, up in the lights and on the television and everything else. It really fascinates me how quick she was to start drawing up gay marriage licenses when they were available for that 48-hour period or whatever it was. You notice she isn't doing that for any heterosexual couples. And kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, I think there is some grandstanding going on here, no question.
Oh, definitely. What a show-off.
Yeah.
It's so typical of political families.
Well, and it happens not only here but all over. I have to run, and I appreciate your input. But I think there is some grandstanding going on. By the way, one of our listeners, Brad, says, I'm all for gay marriage. If they want to be miserable like everybody else, so be it. Problem is, they have no divorce rate yet. He says, except for Rosie O'Donnell, of course. But he says that's a little different. And let's talk about this more in detail with David Pickup, a licensed California and Texas marriage and family therapist. David, welcome to the program. David, good morning.
Very good morning to you.
And how are you, sir?
I'm not doing too badly, thank you.
Well, obviously, this debate over gay marriage and by extension, all these things going on with Bruce Jenner and so forth has garnered a lot of headlines here in America. Now, you specialize in reparative therapy. What is authentic reparative therapy, number one?
Well, reparative therapy is not all the junk and the things like electroshock and all the horrible stuff you hear on the internet and mainstream media. Reparative therapy is for people who truly believe that homosexual feelings for them were not naturally inborn, but had a cause and effect nature. And usually, guys come into my office, I deal mainly with men, who believe that underneath all that stuff, there's a strong sense of gender identity inferiority and a lot of unmet needs for love, affection, approval, affirmation, that kind of thing, that never gets fulfilled. But later on in life, those needs, since they're not met, they look to them elsewhere and they become erotically charged. And so what reparative therapy does is goes to the bottom of those homosexual feelings and helps the guy really heal those wounds. Long story short, but heal those wounds and also get some needs met with healthy relationships in their lives. And what happens automatically, spontaneously, when these issues underneath are resolved, is the homosexual feelings naturally, spontaneously begin to lessen and dissipate.
So now, what you're saying here, David, and what you're saying here, and David Pickup is a licensed California and Texas marriage and family therapist and counselor. What you're saying here is you're contradicting the mainstream thought of, well, they were born that way. And you're saying in many cases, they were not born that way. It was a cause and effect relationship that created the tendency towards homosexuality or transgenderism. You know, obviously, you must get some interesting emails.
Yes, I do. I do. I get a lot of, thank goodness, I get a lot of emails from people who realize that this is their truth, and they come to me for help and assistance, and it works very well for them. And then, of course, I get the requisite hate mail as well.
So, that's what I was kind of focusing on, the hate mail. That's why I figured you got a lot of it. You know, for Bruce Jenner, who has no intention of having any sort of surgery or gender change operations, that person remains categorically male, if I'm not mistaken. And so I guess my question to you is, the World Health Organization, you don't have to yell at me, boys and girls, but the World Health Organization considers transgenderism to be a mental health issue. That's not me, it's the World Health Organization, well-respected around the world. But David, I'm sure when you tell people that transgenderism has roots in mental issues, the hate mail probably piles up.
Yes, it does, and it's really, in my opinion, it comes up because of the cognitive dissonance. When people's foundations of their beliefs tend to be questioned, they tend to be very excitable. It's that way across the board with a lot of controversial issues. We're dealing with the foundations of who people believe they are. When you question that, people have a way of, well, frankly, sometimes freaking out.
Well, you know, I wrote this in a column recently because I see that a lot of folks in the transgender community are young, some prepubescent, and then they try to fight with hormone therapy and so forth. Let me explain to people. Hormones are not a hate group, all right? Hormones are not a hate group. They're just what naturally occurs, and sometimes young boys who apparently identify as young girls go through the change and find themselves, well, I am a boy, and I'm a man, and how often do you find that happening?
Where they regret what they've done, in other words?
Yeah, when they say, you know what, I don't even know if it's regret. It's just like the arrive at the conclusion they were at least mistaken.
Yeah, that happens. I don't think it happens very often in terms of something that's more immediate. Now, I think it happens a lot more often than we realize later on in life. And some of these stories I've heard are very tragic circumstances. I've talked with at least two guys who have tried to reverse later on in life their transgenderism, and it's a heartbreaking story because they wish so badly that they would have had the knowledge and help from therapists who knew how to really work with them to resolve these issues beforehand, before they did all this these things to themselves.
And of course, the problem here is if you have even the notion or suggest the notion that transgenderism, for example, is something that should be dealt with a counselor first, then of course you're a bigot, you're a hater, it's hate speech, and probably not, won't even be allowed to talk about it in public someday soon, because it'll be settled science that transgenderism is normal, despite what the World Health Organization says, despite what mental health professionals say. You'll be shouted down, I suppose.
Well, that's right, but we always, if you're a counselor, if you're a person of research, you always want to refer to the science. And the science and the objectivity that is required for finding out truth is the important thing here. One has to remember, there is no gay gene. There is no transgender gene. These are folks who, I do have compassion for them, but these are still folks who have no scientific evidence, no proof at all for the fact that they believe that they were in transgendered case, born a man in a woman's body. Now, there are some cases, of course, which I don't want to discount, where men or women are born with same-sex genitalia that are both male and female. Those are unique cases. The majority of cases we're talking about are just people who believe if they have the mind or soul of a woman inside, but have a male body. And
David, we have to leave it there today. David Pickup, we have to leave it there today as this conversation continues, not just here, but across the nation. David, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
David Pickup, a licensed therapist in Texas and California here on a Tuesday on The Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump-starting your day with the news that matters.
Tuesday morning at 45 after. Yeah, this is like dessert now. We've had a great meal today of common sense and straightforward thinking and genuine conversation. And this is like dessert. I'm not kidding you. Megan Barth is here from ReaganBaby.com. Megan, welcome to the program.
Steve, thanks for having me back. Good morning.
So I understand you have thoroughly irritated the NSA. and your internet service has been cut off. Bam! No internet for you.
That's right. They actually are back on. I moved out of state.
Well, so just for protection?
All the wires and stuff I need to get, put back together.
Did you move just for your own protection? I mean, let's be honest, Megan. If you're not on a watch list at this point in your life, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I think I am. And for that reason, just because, I am speaking out against the man. I'm trying to find an armed guard.
Yeah. The man.
Yeah. I can still have armed guards, right?
Unless you're elected, there will be no armed guards. knives will be taken away, too. So, I saw Donald Trump get into the race here last week, and I know you paid attention to that as well. And I think it's impossible that he'll ever be elected president. Of course, I think his hair is mathematically impossible. When I look at it, look at that. Is that real? Come on, what does it take? Like 25 minutes over and back and comb and back and dry and hairspray. I don't know. Anyhow, what do you think of Donald Trump?
I think he's refreshing, and the reason I think he's refreshing is because he's no BS. He's no PC. He is somewhat of an entertainer, right? He's got his own reality TV show, a very successful one. But his brand is synonymous with success. And I've watched the responses. I watched the responses really close, all the blowback. And I expected it from the left. I did not expect it from the right, as equally as vicious as the left. So that's why, I kind of sat down for Reagan Baby and I wrote The Art of the Deal versus the Artful Dodgers. And the Artful Dodgers, in my estimation, are the Republicans. Because we just handed the Republicans, or the GOP, one of the largest victories they've had in a midterm election.
Ever.
Ever. Historical. And they are still ramming through a bill, leading the charge, mind you, that no one has read, the American public is not allowed to see, and no one really wants. So here we go again. We've got like Obamacare Part 2, but this time it's about trade.
It's really about immigration is what this in large part is about, if you trust what is being said, because it's kind of hard to figure out except for, thank God for WikiLeaks out there to help us out a little bit. Seriously.
Well, thank God for my former congressman, Dana Rohrabacher. He got up on the Hill, and I linked to the piece in my blog, and he has two bureaucrats, one ambassador or something, he asked them, did you read it? And they said, no. And he goes, well, how can you tell us all these great things about it if you haven't read it?
Well, I just had Bill Heisinger on here, who did the Artful Dodge as well, as far as specifically, well, we don't know what's in the TPP. We haven't seen it yet, and we won't vote on it for months and months, but we want to make sure we get this other part done. Really?
Right.
I don't want a Republican president to have this kind of power. I don't want any president to have this kind of power. I don't care who it is. And isn't it interesting that all the Republicans who were handed this massive victory, the ones that were so appalled by Nancy Pelosi's you have to vote for it to see what's in it comments and so forth, that's just awful. We would never do such a thing, and you're doing exactly the same thing.
And that's why Trump is catching attention, and whether it's good or bad, and I always think bad attention is just as good as good attention. And what I've been hearing from a lot of people that I've talked to is they're like, we'll vote for him tomorrow because he's not a politician. Maybe he'll actually get something done because no matter who we vote for, they're just voting alike or doing the same thing. There is no difference. You know, I had to laugh because as I was watching the blowback, I saw Michael Reagan, Reagan's piece, and I linked to it in Reagan Baby.
Right.
And he was all concerned because, you know, Donald Trump is ruining the GOP brand. Guys, your
really?
Brand has been ruined since you lost to a community organizer.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it was ruined before that.
Yeah, and folded to a community organizer, and now folding to it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
you've got on the other side of the planet, Bernie Sanders, who the Democratic Party thinks is mainstream now. He's got 41% of the support in New Hampshire. And let me tell you something, he's north of 40%. That's frighteningly mainstream, the fact that he thinks that all college should be free and we, the working people, should pay for, well, just about everything. Let him get out his laundry list. We should buy groceries and housing and cars and communications and college degrees and pay for it all and not complain.
Well, that's that's the answer to the last 8 years of progressive, quote unquote progressive, a.k.a. socialist, policies. So, you know, everyone's been kind of spoon-fed of how great this grandiose, bigger government is. And quite frankly, it started with Bush. But I wouldn't call Bush a socialist. He's a socialist. And so here we go, marching towards socialism. Isn't socialism wonderful? Well, guys, you're never going to know what it's like until we get there completely. And so, you know, I challenge anyone who's trumpeting the values and greatness of socialism to point out a middle class in a socialist economy.
There isn't one.
They don't exist.
But fortunately, the party boss always gets a steak dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the party boss.
But yeah, that's why Bernie is rising, and Hillary, if you notice, if she could go any more left, but now she has to really be honest about who she is. You know,
mm-hmm.
she's got to go as left as Bernie because he's, like you said, you know, coming up in the polls.
Wildly left. And now, wouldn't it be fun? And this would be your last thought: Trump versus Sanders for the big event. Wouldn't that at least it'd be entertaining for you and I, Megan? I'll give you 20 seconds for the last thought.
I'd love to see it. I want to see Trump make more noise because he's adding something to the national conversation that no one else is really doing it and in a style that no one else can do.
And he's really rich. Megan Barth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like I said, it's like dessert around here. Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com. Check it out if you want to see more of her musings about the political state of things. 52 after on a Tuesday.